And today on the HR Power Hour, we're going to be talking with Hook Wheeler. He's the Senior Human Resource Manager at the Jackson Laboratories up in Bar Harbor, Maine. Hook, thanks for being on the show.
Oh, my pleasure, Dave. Thank you.
Well, you know, we're going to be talking about a really interesting topic today, and this is a topic that not only is relevant here in Maine, but it's relevant really across the country. As I've said before, we're lucky and proud to have over 9,000 people visiting our HR Power Hour website on a monthly basis, and that's from many states across the country. And this topic today, dealing with hiring great talent in remote locations, is really relevant. So I think the first thing I'd like you to do, if you would, is kind of talk about the difficulties that you face in the fact that you're a pristine, very solid organization and world-renowned laboratory, but you still have challenges getting great people up in Bar Harbor, Maine.
Yeah, Dave, we really do, and I think, unfortunately, the difficulty has been growing rather than lessening just over the last 5 or so years, even given some difficulties in the economy. We have been fortunate enough to continue to grow, and in that growth, we really need to bring in new talent often, or the regular change of employees, replacing talent. And we find that, in large part, we find ourselves recruiting out of state, not because that's our goal, because that's the talent, the skills we're looking, particularly in the biological areas, and in IT, are two that really are a challenge. And I think a couple key things are, we are, as you know, 3 hours northeast of Portland. And when people are looking at coming here, even when the job opportunity, given the challenges, the opportunity to build a career, we, because we're rural, face some of those relocation things with spouses. Second incomes can be difficult to make that happen in the way they want to. Relocation to a new home, it's not a place someone commutes to from next door. The downturn of real estate. This is just sort of a couple indications. I could probably go on way too much that has caused us to, look hard. We spent a lot of time, and I think filling a lot of our key roles takes certainly more time than we wanted to and needed to.
You know, let's break this down a little bit if we can. We'll talk about a couple areas, and then we'll get into the positive side, obviously. But I want to kind of talk about some of the individual challenges. So first, when you're putting a position out there, right? You're put out a position that you're looking for something or someone. What is the response you're getting initially? Are you seeing, as some employees have said, hundreds of resumes coming in, or are you just seeing, a smattering of the resumes based upon the unique nature of the industry?
Dave, we're seeing both, actually. Let me qualify that. When we're looking, for example, for some new technologies, new skill sets in the world of information technology, our response when we put something out there will be not in the hundreds, certainly in the dozens, and then we get down to qualified folks, it may be a few. When we are putting out a ad for someone, let's say in the biological sciences, that's where we've cut our teeth for 85 years, that's what we're all about, we often will get those hundreds of applications and responses, some of which will certainly, it'll winnow down when they do discover where we're located in some respects. But still, we do fairly well with some very talented biological people because that's been our history and our presence in the workplace, and it's been what we've done.
Okay, so you're getting some qualified candidates. You're getting candidates that come in. So then the next logical question from my standpoint is, let's talk about the pay. I mean, the reality is, are you paying what you would consider mid-market, at-market? And I'm obviously not going into each specific field, but in general, you're the biggest employer in the town. You're obviously paying at a reasonable rate for the area and market, correct?
Yeah, great question. We are paying a reasonable rate for this area and for those in the market in this area. We have a reputation for paying very good salaries along with excellent benefits. You know, our total compensation is looked at in the state of Maine as being enviable, if you will. But it brings up as I said at the start of the conversation, when we're looking beyond the state of Maine, even southern Maine at times, certainly Boston, to bring that talent here, we really are finding the need to, we're in a different market. And certainly, from what I can see, particularly if you take information technology, primarily, the market in Boston for that talent is certainly going to pay a premium over those that we're going to find in Maine.
So we're talking about a, if you want to call it, an organization that is getting applicants, that is paying at or above market for what it is that we're dealing with. So now we're starting to see some of the difficulties. So now is housing. Housing, you know, market housing, apartments, location on the coast. Let's be honest, you know, that is a beautiful place to be. And then, of course, in the winter, if you love snow and ice, it's a beautiful place to
be.
But you gotta like the outdoors, right? You gotta have that kind of mentality in terms of being able to understand that you're in a remote place, and that's where some of the rubs start to happen. Correct?
You know, I think it does. We just did a recent survey of a group here who have relocated here and begun employment in the last 3 years, actually IT people, to get some feedback on the process and coming here. It's a very mixed bag on those that wanted to be in a rural area, those that didn't care, and those that really would love to be here. So it really goes across the spectrum. What I find is there's much more here actually year-round than meets the eye to the applicant. You've got to discover it. Housing, you mentioned at the start, Dave, is definitely a premium here. Housing on the island is 15 to 20% more than just off the island. So we probably rival, certainly, the housing market, what you'd pay in Portland. And you can live off the island much cheaper. That's not always apparent until people start to dig into what the opportunities are. So at first blush, we might look expensive, rural, and is there enough to do in the winter, to your point? And I think one of our biggest challenges, and we try to muster even more and more capabilities and thought process about this, is to help applicants understand there's more than meets the eye necessarily. There's places to live if that's your choice or that's your income level off the island. The commute is easy. It's beautiful. There's not a lot of traffic lights. And there's actually quite a bit to do in the winter here. Two biological laboratories, one college, and a very active population of about 10,000. So, but here I am already feeling like I'm marketing here, Dave.
Well, you are. In a sense, you are marketing. Let's be honest. I mean, this is part of what organizations and companies need to think about when they're trying to sell themselves to potential customers or clients, right? These are your employees, are those very important assets to you. And, you know, you want to bring them on. You want the right talent. You want the right mix. One of the things that, you know, we're talking about, not only now that we've gone through the location, we've gone through kind of the pay, we've gone through, you know, where we're at, you know, is the spouse, the children. You know, I remember talking to people in terms of the organization saying, you know, oh, you're from a metro area. Your wife really enjoys shopping at large metropolitan shopping malls. Have you been to downtown Bar Harbor? There are a lot of shops. Of course, in the winter, there's about 10 open, but that's all right. You can get some shopping done online, right? I mean, are these some of the things you hear, not only from the candidates, but their importance of their spouse, their children? Let's be honest. If you may love and want to go there, but if your spouse doesn't want to go, hey, you're not coming.
That's really true. And so our we try to deflate some of those major concerns by suggesting being in Ellsworth, Maine, which is off the island, 25 miles from Bangor. And Bangor is not a shopping mecca, probably, but there's quite a bit to do and quite a bit there. But, you know, we're realistic, and we're realistic with applicants. We're not going to offer a lot what you can get Portland, Maine, and south. It's interesting with the internet. Yeah, online shopping is huge in this island. You know, FedEx and UPS are real busy. And, you know, we got the opera piped into the Grand Auditorium in Ellsworth now every Sunday, and it's packed, standing room only. So there's a lot of self-made culture here. But at first blush, you may come here going, my gosh, I've got this beautiful colored plywood on the windows in January. Is how long is this going to last? When do things open up? And that's part of the, I think I call it the seven-part sort of knowing if you're ready to move to Bar Harbor and take a job here. I think what I find, Dave, is, and this is a generalization, those people that are really interested in the opportunity career-wise, whether biologists, information technologists, or administrators like myself, I think we present and offer some really challenging work. We're very collegial. We're very much a community here, I think influenced by the ruralness and sort of we're all in this together. And that attracts a lot of people into some of those, I'll call it infrastructure challenges, like some boarded up windows in town, become less of an issue, certainly for the employee here. But to your point, I think we still, the bigger challenges with, if you will, commonly called the trailing spouse, is to provide the same type level of career challenge that they may have had in that metro area. And unless they're biologists, that can be tough to do in this rural area, or if they want to travel to Bangor.
No, I think you're right. I mean, look, there is no doubt that any of these rural areas we're talking about are beautiful areas of the country, and they lend to a culture that is hard to match in some area, other areas of the country. You know, you have metro culture, but the some of these scenic cultural areas that are all across the country in all states that bring a unique culture to it. And that's what you're really selling as well, is that culture side, not only of the organization as part of the culture, but really as, hey, this is what you're coming into. We are all in it together, and that makes a difference in terms of why you should come to work here.
And I think that's not novel, but it's where we can differentiate enough. Many of our applicants are coming out of situations where there's just been recent downsizing or buyouts. They were in a place in their home working a career, and there's been some, you know, business changes which happen on a routine basis, and all of a sudden they're picking up and going somewhere else. We have historically and continue to offer some more stability for a career. Certainly that can be challenging when people are used to being making changes. They ask, if I come to Bar Harbor, where might I change? And we try to reinforce the stability we have. And, you know, I think that we're talking culturally, two big sellers these days for folks, besides the stability and challenge of employment, what gets brought to my attention is two things. People right away ask about schools. Public schools are in everybody's, I think, you know, front window these days. They really want to know about them. We offer some fantastic schools, really good, highly supported by the community, and have been for years. We're fortunate. And it's a safe place. And those two things might have been minor in years past, but good public schools and safe environments, it's interesting how much that's been sort of the final seller for somebody that was coming into the right career. Does that make sense?
No, it absolutely does. And look, we're talking with Hook Wheeler. He's a senior human resource manager at the Jackson Laboratories. You're listening to Hook Wheeler, senior human resource manager at the Jackson Laboratories, and I talking about the challenges when you're dealing with remote locations and getting great talent. And Hook, we're really talking about some of the challenges, spousal issues, location issues, cultural issues, the challenges with getting great talent. What I want to do is talk about some of the successes that you have had, because what I want to do is kind of share this with other HR professionals out there that are dealing with the challenges of this type of location, this type of issue. So probably one of the first questions I have before we get into a couple of the things you've done, one of the questions come up is when an HR professional is looking to interview candidates, okay, and then talking to them, there's a lot of questions you can't ask. You can't really ask about the spouse. You can't really ask about certain things about that individual. How do you try to determine if they're right for your type of organization?
That's a great question, Dave. I think that, and often people will notice we're different location or something, and they're often not sure how to even ask us about our differences that they notice. And I find it's just conversations about asking people what they think, how does the day struck them, what stood out for them. I find that interviewees of all types, all levels, no matter what discipline they're coming up here to talk to us about, are usually very out front and start asking us about issues like location, transportation, housing. So it's really not difficult to get into those conversations appropriately, lawfully. And I found often it happens when you're walking between interviews, taking a little tour, doing lunch. That's probably what strikes others too. But I think we have an advantage in a sense. This might seem ironic, the fact that we are sitting here. We have about 27 buildings on this hillside, the bottom of a mountain. It really surprises people, and they tend to be fairly forthcoming and pretty informal, and we are very relaxed, and that, I think, it makes it easy for an HR person. Is that helpful?
Yeah, that's good. I think, look, you have to make the person comfortable, right?
Yeah.
And through that, it is okay to have dialogue around the realistic challenges that are out there. And I think that's the thing that is a takeaway, is have realistic conversation about the situation. And you can't ask certain questions, but you can certainly say, hey, look, I know you may have thought about the fact that, hey, we're in a remote location. How does that affect you? Well, let me tell us how others have talked about these things, and kind of open up the conversation.
Exactly. And, we tend to be a very welcoming organization. We look at just talent. We are not particularly concerned with some of the trappings that some other organizations may be, because of a certain look or sort of a marketing they need from those people. People here are serious workers, serious technologists, and a lot of that isn't even an issue. It's really, can you make the transition? There's all kinds of appropriate ways to talk about that. And again, we find it pretty easy to talk about, because if people are impressed with the opportunity, they right away want to say, okay, this is a little different. I'm going to start to bring up some of the issues and talk about them.
No, that's great.
It makes it easier for us.
No, that's great. All right, so let's talk about some of the successes that you've had in terms of dealing with this issue. And one of them is dealing with and partnering with local universities and colleges. So take me through some of that success.
I think it's rooted a lot in our summer student program, which is actually older than the laboratory, 90 years old. Our first director used to do this out of his home in Trenton, Maine. And because we're known as a genetics institution, a premier one, we get a lot of interest from entry-level biologists, particularly for our summer student program. We're very competitive. They live in a beautiful mansion here and do work in individual laboratories. The word gets out, and we get hundreds of applications for that and select a few each year. So that's not one college dependent, but we get many kids from University of Maine, Bates, Bowdoin, Colby, will come each year to the sort of a very premier program. Also, the local colleges in Maine and New England, we find there's a lot of very interested technicians. They may come here for 2 to 3 years before graduate school. That tends to be 2 out of 3 of our technicians. They come here gladly year-round. They get some great career opportunity. They get publications. They have what they need to go to graduate school. I think because we have been a biological, really sort of a mecca for genetics and for animal models and stuff, biologists will come here, if not permanently, for a stint, and that's an unusual discipline, happily, in gaining this knowledge. So the local colleges have been great at sending people. We go to their career fairs routinely every year. And that's been the biological sciences, where we've needed to make more effort and make more connections, is, as an example, in information technology. So we benefited from Project Login out of Portland last summer. That was great. People reached out to us, actually, at other companies in southern Maine. We've doubled our internship opportunities just to be able to make sure that we are recognizable in Project Login, which is there to bring young adults back to Maine, at least for summer experience, so they may work here year-round eventually. Those that have grown up here may have gone to school out of state. And right now we've been talking to local colleges, Hudson, University of Maine. We've got some new connections. And they're also recognizing the need to educate more information technology people, because the jobs are here. The jobs in Portland, the jobs in Bangor, they're here, and they're looking for more talented people with more technical background too. So I think we've got some real work to do in information technology, and we've got to continue to capitalize on all our biological internships. We're going to be actually creating a longer than a summer program, which we have. We're going to have some more year-round internships, which are going to be funded for next year, probably in information technology. So that's our current thinking. We're recognizing we've really got to build some talent on the bench at the beginning. We've tended to hire more senior people to get the job done. But you know what, Dave? They tend to be the people that have more obligations when they are in their own home, when they've got to sell something, they've got to relocate. If we can catch them while they're young and get them here and get them indoctrinated into the Jackson Laboratory and what the opportunity is, they often come back.
No, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, it's a great facility. It's a great organization. One of the other things I know you do is partner with other organizations in the area. You know, you said that there's two laboratories, there's a university, you have a college. Tell me about how that partnership works in being able to attract talent to the area.
Yeah. There's these Embry grants, which are funded by National Institutes of Health. We have a lot of NIH money here, but they've also looked to fund those states which have less than what might be their share of federal monies. We've done well at the laboratory here, but we've been one of the few places that garnered a lot of that NIH money. So we, because of the federal government, they partnered up ourselves with MDI Biological Laboratory, University of Maine, Bates, Bowdoin, Colby, Maine Research Center is part of Maine Med. So the seven institutions now are bound by a grant opportunity, and we share graduate students. This started about 7 years ago. We have a graduate program. It comes out of the University of Maine, but they can work at any of the seven institutions, and it's created a lot of collaborations and certainly a lot of opportunities for grad students in biology. That's one thing that's happened.
Well, and I think that's unique, too, because, you know, a lot of organizations are concerned about talent being at more than one location. I mean, they're like, you know, I don't know, they might share ideas, thoughts. We kind of have our own thing going on. So I think that's a unique example of how collaboration can work between, look, seven organizations in that case.
I think it's really insightful of you, and I think that's what the federal government sometimes, in their wisdom, really wants to get people collaborating, because that's where you get new ideas, that's where you get creative thinking. And yet, sometimes it challenges some of our thinking about proprietary information, proprietary ideas. But this is truly, we have a lot of grad students and, by extension, their faculty members working together, training young folks, and then taking ideas from there. It's worked really well. Continues to be funded in small and large places. We share students. They get an opportunity to pick where they want to go, and it's been working well.
All right. No, I think you're absolutely correct, Cook, and that is some of the challenges that are out there. This helps alleviate some of those challenges and thoughts, and it does take new ways of thinking. You know, we have about 2 minutes here left, and I wanted to give you an opportunity to talk about your organization, your uniqueness to not only Maine but New England. You have a new facility now in Connecticut. I think it's important for people to understand. It's not very often we put on such a prestigious institute on the radio, and I think it's important for you to talk about the uniqueness of your brand and your institute.
We've been here, as I said, been in Bar Harbor for about 85 years, and we're a genetics research, basic research institution trying to discover those genetic components that affect particularly disease. That's been our moniker, our tagline for a long time. And with the really expansion, we're not leaving Bar Harbor, we're not leaving Maine. Actually, we're going to be in Ellsworth also. But with our expansion of Farmington, Connecticut, it really is something that many and most basic research operations are doing. Usually they do it in a metro area. Let's say if you're Harvard, you're partnering with your hospitals to do some clinical work too and inform the clinicians. So Farmington has given us opportunity at what we call Jack's Genomic Medicine to take a lot of that genetics information, that understanding of the mouse as a research model, and we're going to be partnering much more directly with physicians we're on a location with three hospitals, just us at Hartford right now, close relationships with Yale. But bottom line, it's a 75 people right now, it'll grow to 300 in Farmington, Connecticut. And they're folks who are taking all that great information, that data that's been discovered in the biological sciences over the last 40 years, and mine that data primarily, look at certain situations as far as people's health. The tagline is personalized medicine. Now that we can understand, Dave, yours or my whole genome, right? We can now look at, we know the genes, how do they function? So genomics really is, and I'll just give you this little line. It had me look at this morning knowing we were going to have this phone call. So really what genomics is just we know the genes. It's looking at the gene functions, getting in there, looking at the cellular functions, and that's what's happening down there. We've already got some, I think, effective, interesting collaborations with University of Connecticut Health Center, and we're actually going to have 10 shared faculty members between UCHC and JAX Genomic Medicine. So it really is, I think, the future where we needed to go, in tandem with what's going on here, basic research in Bar Harbor.
I want to thank you for being on the show today. I mean, anybody who wants to know more about Jackson Laboratory can go certainly to jax.org. That's jax.org. Or they can, of course, go after the show to the HRPowerHour.com, in which we will have, obviously, this segment up live that people can listen to again if they miss part of it, or they can certainly connect and go directly to the website to where you are hooked. Hook, thank you very much for being on the show today. I appreciate it very, very much.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate the time.
All right. And now your HR tip of the week, pre-employment and employee testing. The EEOC has offered the following guidelines for employers on employment tests and other selection procedures. 1. Employers should administer tests and other selection procedures without regard to race, color, national origin, sex, religion, age, 40 or older, or disability. 2. Employers should ensure that employment tests and other selection procedures are properly validated for the positions and purposes for which they are used. 3. If a selection procedure screens out a protected group, the employer should determine whether there is an equal effective alternative selection procedure that has less adverse impact, and if so, adopt the alternative procedure. And 4. To ensure that a test or selection procedure remains predictive of success in a job, employers should keep abreast of changes in job requirements and should update the test specifications or selection procedures accordingly. And that's your HR tip of the week. Next week on the HR Power Hour, we're going to be talking with Dan Rose. He is the chair of the Labor and Employment Department of the law firm of Drummond & Woodsum. We are going to be talking about privacy, the expectation of privacy, why employers need to care about it, having to do with hiring, misconduct, theft, and making sure that you're doing the right things when it comes to video, GPS, medical records, ADA. Lots of acronyms, lots of fun on the HR Power Hour next week. Thank you for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 1310 a.m. or streaming live on WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.